And I'm really pleased to be joined by the creators of the Jazz and Creative Institute here in Kalamazoo. They are accomplished musicians and organizers, Ashley Daneman and Benji Daneman. Welcome to you both.
Thanks, Kara.
Thanks, Kara, yeah.
Glad you're here. We have a laundry list of activities and concerts to talk about this hour. Should we perhaps, for those who aren't familiar with Jazz and Creative Institute, talk a little about when it was formed and why you formed this institution?
Yeah, we can definitely do that. Okay. That's a great idea. The Jazz and Creative Institute, I started really actually back in 2014, very just for kind of a short jaunt. We did a couple summer programs at Western with our friend Nick Mueller, who was a great pianist now in New York City. And we did two summers worth of jazz summer workshops there for high schoolers. And then Ashley and I moved back to New York. Actually, we moved back kind of in the middle of that. And we kind of disbanded and the Jazz and Creative Institute. And then 2 years ago, after we had moved back to Kalamazoo again, we were here and I was working with the Kalamazoo Symphony. We actually applied for a grant through the CADI grant, the Arts Council of Greater Kalamazoo, and started the Kalamazoo Youth Jazz Orchestra, which was the first youth big band in the region. So actually in the Southwest Michigan region, there's one up in Grand Rapids where one of our friends runs, but the first one in the Kalamazoo area. And we kind of just did to see what would happen, kind of a Field of Dreams type thing. And we built it and people came, and we started with two ensembles that first season. We had a big band and an octet. And then that quickly expanded out to people wanting to study jazz privately. So we started informally offering lessons. And then 1 year ago, we started offering formal lessons in our location downtown on Rose Street. And we had two big bands and an octet and had students coming from all over the place. And that brings us, actually, then we started another jazz camp last summer, and here we are now with over 70 students that are studying with us both voice and jazz instrumental music, and we have two big bands and new offerings that we can talk about today. So that's a very quick snapshot of the past few years.
Brilliantly done,
Thank
Benji.
You so much.
Well, the reason that we started this is because we felt like there was a little bit of a vacuum in terms of jazz education for the general public.
It turns out you were right.
Yeah, and people want to play jazz, and it's super fun.
Jazzandcreative.com is yes. The website where the activities are listed, and applications are also available for various groups and private lessons that take place, as you said, at your studio downtown on Rose Street, 310 North Rose.
That's right.
Is the address there. And I bet you see a lot of people coming and going at this point.
Yeah. There was some road construction, which was not very fun.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Now that's all. Don't be afraid, public. Come on down. Rose Street is wide open.
Benji, I do remember our conversation 2 years ago. I remember this sense of optimism and hope that there would be enough students who wanted to join the Kalamazoo Youth Jazz Orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
You knew there was some interest, but you were really hoping to get a large group of people to come. And, you know, you already knew how busy students' lives are.
Yeah.
And what they would be juggling mm-hmm. in order to add something like a jazz band experience to their days. But as it turned out, a lot of kids found that time and found that niche.
Yeah. And I think 2 years ago when we were talking, we didn't know what we were walking into. It was very optimistic, very hopeful. And the kids that joined over the past couple of years are the ones that weren't doing the Junior Symphony, which is an amazing program. But very classical, that weren't doing some of the other, some of the high school students in the Kalamazoo Philharmonia. So there's some kids that, like, you know, that would be doing that or even involved with, like, other choral programs. But, like, it was something that there was not a place for them. And there was just not an opportunity, maybe in their schools. But, yeah, it wasn't as much big of a fight as I thought it would be. We found the people that really wanted it.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of Jazz and Creative Institute, is that even with our private lessons, you know, these aren't the students, because I don't want to say kids, because we have, you know, students that go up to mid-70s. These are not the students that are just doing it because they're forced into doing it or they feel obligated. They're the ones that really want to be doing something special. Like they want to study something specific. And so we're getting the students that are very kind of focused and excited.
And 2 years ago, you were putting out a call for young instrumentalists.
Yeah.
And I understand that today and tomorrow, you are looking for people who want to sing as well.
Yes, we are. So we are starting a vocal jazz ensemble, which will be directed by Liz Townsend. And she is a Gold Company alum from Western here. So vocal jazz ensembles are her heart and soul, and she really wants to put something together for the teens and maybe middle schoolers, but mostly teens in this general area. So they're going to be singing a lot of contemporary styles like swing, a cappella, gospel, Latin jazz. It's really going to be a nice range of things. And it's a great opportunity for singers that's different from going to choir in school, because the level of musicianship and is a little bit different, and using your ear to blend with all those intricate harmonies. There are things that they do called solis, where they learn a solo and they sing it all in four-part harmony, a whole jazz solo.
Oh,
and then there's
the
also
challenge.
Yeah, I know. There's also scat singing involved. So I can't recommend this opportunity highly enough. We're holding auditions this evening and tomorrow. So if you know a high schooler who would be interested, fill out the form on our website and connect with us, because we want to meet you and have you join our group.
That's jazzandcreative.com.
Yep.
That's it. And also, I've been doing a lot of recruiting visits in high schools. And so I'm talking to the bands and the jazz bands. I don't necessarily go into the choirs, but I've been getting a lot of questions about, well, can I be in this vocal jazz ensemble from instrumentalists? And I say definitely yes.
Yeah.
Because in some capacity I tell them that they have an advantage in some way, because they're very used to playing kind of intricate ensemble type parts that are moving in that capacity. It's different than, like, as Ashley was saying, than specific choral thing. If you're in your choir at school, being in the band is something very different. Reading music, kind of intricate music, is what they'll be doing, puts them at a little bit of different advantage, that they have a different mindset. So I encourage them, if you've never been in a choir, it doesn't mean you can't be a part of this, especially if you know your voice is a strong one and you're able to read music or you can do something like that. So,
well, and if I can just tag on to this,
yeah,
as the singer here, the singer-obsessed lady, when a lot of singers are training as teenagers, they're doing things like choir and even musical theater, and maybe they're even having private lessons. But a lot of the training for singers is based on their performance technique, and which is a really essential aspect of performing, like of singing. You need to be able to communicate your story, of course, but they often don't have the same connection to other musical things like theory and playing an instrument, and just some of those musicianship skills get kind of like downgraded for singers training. So this is one way for singers to sort of level that playing field, because I know Liz and I have talked about how when you're trained to do a great performance, but you don't know a lot of like music theory details and such, you're at a little bit of a disadvantage if you're interested in going to music school, because all of a sudden you have to know how to sing a whole tone scale and do the theory test and all the things, but everyone else has been working on that stuff all along and you've been
right
learning how to bring the house down with a great performance.
So you're saying that joining a jazz choir,
mm-hmm,
you'll come away with a better understanding of theory, harmony, how things work together beyond your own part, understanding, you need to read music at this point. You can't do it all by ear.
If you're not a good sight reader, that's okay. Our goal is to really create an opportunity to raise the level of what people are able to do. Like, come to us, we'll raise you up in your musicianship skills, and you'll come out being much stronger. You'll go from just being a, quote, singer to being a musician.
I can say through anecdotal evidence. My husband's a high school teacher, and I have enjoyed many occasions playing in pit orchestras for high school productions. The talent is out there, but it's still at that unformed point. Some of them are great performers, but there's this wonderful element of potential with this age, and a certain fearlessness sometimes that they're willing to get out there and go ahead and do it. And a little bit of training, even a little bit of training at this point, tends to have lifelong consequences. Yeah.
Totally. Oh, yeah. Yep. And I agree with you. We have so many talented young singers in this area. And I see them on Instagram, or some of them are my students. And I'm just like so excited for them. And I also can see all that potential. And part of my job is letting people know that taking voice lessons when you're already very good is a very good idea. Because you have no idea how well you can do if you get the instruction.
Absolutely. Well, just a reminder that these vocal jazz ensemble auditions are today and tomorrow. It's not too late. You can contact Jazz and Creative through the website, jazzandcreative.com, and read up on it and see if it really will fit your child or your friend's life, some of the requirements are there too.
Yep, all the tools to audition are there, and don't be shy if they look overwhelming. Just like I said, we really are trying to build this from the ground up here in Southwest Michigan, and we have a handful of people auditioning already, and we'd love to meet anyone who's even remotely interested.
Well, gosh, I look forward to the results.
Me
of
too.
The vocal jazz ensemble. Does it have a name?
Yeah. Well, we're calling it VJE, Vocal Jazz Ensemble, and they already have several performances lined up for the next 7 months.
Oh, my.
So if you love to get on stage and perform, this is your
what we do.
This is your thing. This is what we do.
I'm speaking with Ashley and Benji Denneman, who created the Jazz and Creative Institute, kind of formalized it a couple of years ago and gave it a home in Kalamazoo at 310 North Rose Street. And we are just going to go through a few other things that you're offering. What's next? What can we talk? Benji, what are we focusing on
what
next?
What do I want to talk about? That could be dangerous. I guess along those lines, since we're talking about auditions already, in 1 week, so a week from today, we'll be doing our instrumental auditions. So like I said, 2 years ago, we started the Kalamazoo Youth Jazz Orchestra, and that expanded to last year, starting our lab band, which is our second big band, which is more intermediate, kind of beginner levels for those that don't have any jazz experience or are a little bit younger on the instrument. So we started that last year, and then this year we're going to be starting our first adult jazz band, which is very exciting. We've been talking about it for more than a year now. I think year ago we were talking about it here.
Yes. With Kara.
I think we talked about Kara. I think it was your idea, Kara, that we did this.
Certainly. I do remember that conversation.
I think the quote was, if you start one, I'll play in it.
Yeah, that was what she said.
I'm so shocked. I rarely get my bluff called on live radio.
Don't mess with the Dannemans.
You're welcome.
I do have both an alto and a tenor just sitting lonely in the closet right now. I'm sure you can imagine they're very lonely instruments.
Yeah, and, they don't need to be anymore.
And I said, you know what would be great is if you had an adult jazz band where I could, you know, in a welcoming atmosphere, you know, get back to it or, you know, get some good skills going. And Here it is.
Yeah, it's gonna be a great band already. We have for our first year starting off, we have some great talent already coming in, ranging age ranges from 20 up till I think our oldest is like 75. But they all have experience playing jazz, and I mean that doesn't well some do and some don't. But I think it's gonna be a very talented group, and it's gonna be led by Kalamazoo jazz piano hero Rufus Ferguson. I'm sure Rufus has been on this show many a time, and
he's someone I admire greatly. As someone who was, as a student at Western, struggled to become a good reader. He had a great ear from playing it as an infant in the church.
Yeah.
And came to Western and had to really pick up those sight reading skills. Yep. That was part of his story. He's such a soulful person and musician and has worked tirelessly in our community since. And I'm so lucky he stayed.
Yeah, and we're proud to have. He was one of our first faculty members with JCI. And he stayed on and he helped us in so many different capacities. And so he's going to be kind of taking this band and rolling with it and directing them every week. So I think it'll be a very, very good experience for anybody that we have adults that, so this is essentially 18 years on and older. So anyone above high school that's graduated. So we have college students that just, miss playing in their high school jazz band. They're going to be doing it. And we have returning students that have played in Chicago for years, but then moved here and want a band to play with. So we have, all different levels of players. So it's just going to be a great place. There's bands in the region, the Kelmsey Concert Band, which is great for those looking for a band experience. Mm-hmm. The Philharmonia looking for an orchestral experience.
If you want to swing.
If you want to swing, this is where to do it. So we're excited to kind of be a part of that amazing community of community bands and orchestras and offer that opportunity.
All right, I'm about to click on the
No, you're doing it!
Instrumental Jazz Orchestra there auditions, youth and adult, a deadline to apply October 21st.
Yeah.
And this looks pretty straightforward. I don't think I'm going to be able to wiggle out of this.
That's right.
Jazzandcreative.com is the website. Let's talk about some upcoming shows or performances we can mention with some JCI performers involved.
We have a lot of stuff going the next 2 weeks. As long as we can survive it personally, we'll be okay. So as mentioned, we have the auditions coming up this weekend and next weekend. But this weekend, we have two very exciting performances. One of them on tomorrow, October 19th, with Fontana Chamber Arts. They have their Crybaby concerts, which is always fun. I've played multiple of those in different professional groups, and they've invited us to be a part of this one. And so one of our student bands is going to be playing one of our advanced jazz combos with students ages 11 up to 18. Wow. They'll be doing it. It's a quintet, and they sound great. And I'll be there kind of directing it, kind of getting kids involved and having the families understand a little more what's going on with jazz. So that's tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Jolliffe Theater.
In the Epic Center,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that has a built-in audience.
Yes.
Moms and dads and little ones, sometimes infants. Mm-hmm. And they set them down and off they crawl.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the music starts.
It's really great. As a parent, it's just like best of both worlds.
And, with kids 11 and up, those youngsters are seeing, they feel pretty close, as if they're sibling age. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, it'll be a lot of fun. And they're going to be playing a lot of the music of Duke Ellington. Actually, most of the music is going to be coming from Duke Ellington. This band was coached and directed by Seth Ebersol, who's one of our saxophone faculty. He's really fantastic, and so he's been doing a great job of preparing them kind of for multiple different performances. So they're doing this band specifically is doing 3 gigs in 1 week and 3 different concerts. Of all different music.
So the Crybaby concert
is
tomorrow.
A different set than for another gig we're doing next Thursday, which will be music of Wayne Shorter. And then the music on Saturday is going to be of George Gershwin.
Okay.
So it's just
so
like,
they're getting a taste of the gigging life in childhood.
Childhood, yeah.
But no bars.
Yeah, no.
But those kids are in what we call our immersion program. So they're coming in for a weekly private lesson where they work on their own technique and fundamentals. And then they're also meeting separately in groups another hour in the week, putting together that aspect of playing with another person, which is obviously super important.
What are some other public events we can direct people toward? You mentioned the KSO.
Yep. So on on Saturday is going to be the Fontana. On Sunday, we were invited by Daniel Breyer, who's been here probably more than many people, yes, to be a part of their Family Discovery Concert, which is an amazing experience. If families haven't been out there to experience it, it's an orchestral experience that's geared toward families. And it's always a time that kids can kind of come and experience the orchestra in a really positive, fun way. So he invited us to be a part of a song called Mothership that's written by Detroit kind of new music composer Mason Bates. And it's a very fun piece that includes improvisation. So we've been talking about this for over a year now about how we can incorporate, you know, our students in that. So we have two of our students that will be soloing with the orchestra, which is a really unique experience that many, many musicians don't ever get a chance to do, but they'll be up front. One of them is Elijah Brooks, who is an 11-year-old keyboardist who will be soloing with them. And then Miles Lecken, who is a junior at Kalamazoo Central on alto sax.
Tickets for Family Discovery Concerts are available through the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra website. That's kalamazoosymphony.com. You may already have tickets and are just finding out. You're about to see some young people from the Jazz and Creative Institute included in this show. Where did you say it's taking place this Sunday?
At Chenery. Chenery Auditorium.
Okay. Yep.
And I checked out this piece on the internet, and there are actually some electronics involved. Mm-hmm. Which I find really fascinating. So it's going to be great.
Mason Bates, I think he does a lot of that.
He does. He's an electric. He's actually, I think, also like a, is he a DJ too? Or he does electronic music also.
He's a very contemporary classical musician.
It's great.
Yeah. I'm with Ashley and Benji Daneman, who founded the Jazz and Creative Institute and have a huge list of fall activities that we're chatting about here on this Friday. I thought we'd take a break, though, and you brought along some live recordings, some studio recordings even, of some of the students' work.
Mm-hmm.
Before we maybe talk about your October 24th offering, which is a show at the Union with the JCI student band. We could hear a highlight from the season that in the past.
So last year we did our bands went into Overneath Creative Collective to record just some tracks just to give them a chance to be in the studio. And they, in an hour, the Kalamazoo Youth Jazz Orchestra recorded two tracks, which actually is kind of unbelievable for a big band to go in and do that. It's,
a lot can go wrong with
a
big
lot
band.
Can go wrong. And so this is essentially a live recording in studio of a great classic. If you know the big band repertoire, it's The Groove Merchant, which is an arrangement by Thad Jones.
All right.
So this is them doing that and there.
I can't wait to hear it. Let's hear it. Well, if this were a debate, I think you just made a great case for the Kalamazoo Youth Jazz Orchestra.
Thank you.
What a terrific sound. And, you know, I'm having trouble telling that's a bunch of teenagers.
Yep. Yep. The youngest. Yeah. Again, it was like, I think, 12 to 18.
And that's the young man who took the first piano solo, was it?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
He was 12, yeah.
Name of that tune again?
That was The Groove Merchant. Yep, and an arrangement by Thad Jones. And so really, I mean, if you know the big band repertoire and know, like, the Thad Jones Mel Lewis Orchestra, that's, like, that's the standard, like, the meat and potatoes of, like, swinging big band stuff. So,
you know, Benji, I don't know my, you know, my jazz standards and history that well, but is that something I would learn if I...
That is something you would learn. Oh, yes. And that's one big thing. Any ensemble. So when we started these bands, I made a promise to myself that we would only do professional level music. We wouldn't be doing kind of the middle school watered down stuff or no shame on that, or high school kind of where it's like arranged for high schoolers. We're going to do like real material that should be played, that is by, you know, the best arrangers and the best composers, because they can access it. And then if they're playing that stuff, they can go to the original recordings, learn from that, which is how jazz is learned. You know, it's learned through, you know, through listening and through understanding and kind of mentorship. And that has to be through real material. So, yeah, you'll learn all about that, Kara.
I see. When I join the adult
When you
band,
join the adult band.
I see a parallel with how Andrew Kohler plans his concerts for the Junior Symphony. All of that repertoire is professional level.
Yep. Yeah. I'm very, Andrew's a good friend of mine, and I'm very always impressed and always inspired by how he programs and the level that he holds his students to. And going into this, I totally use the Junior Symphony as kind of like my, you know, like what the level's got to be at. We have to be like, we're going to play the real stuff. And that's what he does. And they show up and they do it.
There's an opportunity on Thursday, next Thursday, to hear.
Yes.
One of the groups. Which group will be featured?
We're finishing up our fall band session. So we started in August, our first small group program. Mm-hmm. And so our first time doing that, we have six bands. We have six different small groups ranging from quartets to sextets. And so we'll be here. There's six different bands playing on the stage of the Union Cabaret and Grill from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m.
And that's the current crop of players?
Current crop of players,
started
yep.
in August.
Yes.
Well, what are some of the repertoires? What are some names I might know? Like what?
Sure. So we have two kind of more beginning level bands, primarily made up of middle schoolers and early high school. And they're going to be playing kind of classics like Satin Doll, Blue Bossa, like I think
Bye Bye Blackbird.
Bye Bye Blackbird, Blue
Summertime,
Monk.
Summertime, sorry.
Yeah, no. Well, the funny thing is we get to like sit through all this rehearsal, so we're hearing all this stuff come together. And so all kind of like the classic material that as you're learning jazz standards, the stuff that you need to kind of like get into, you know, knowing all the basics and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, because it's like a language, so you have to develop your like, you know, body of knowledge and just stack those tunes up. I know 20 tunes now, I know 50, and then, you know, from there.
And then we have two more advanced bands that are playing kind of more complex stuff. One of them is playing an original from a vibraphonist in New York. That's in 5/4, which is a challenge for young jazz musicians to play in. And it's kind of like Dave Brubeck's Take 5, but much more like floaty and hip, like not so... You know, five. And then we're doing some music from Wayne Shorter, which is kind of advanced level jazz standards that, you know, you have to kind of know some foundational stuff to attack that. And then we have a percussion band that's just going to do more African-based and kind of Latin American-based kind of authentic percussion stuff that's led by Kevin Jones. He's a great
from Grand Rapids.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. He's one of core musicians in Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we've talked about this before, and just knowing both of you, there's a bit of an imbalance in male and female joining jazz groups.
Mm-hmm.
That's throughout the country. That's throughout jazz
worldwide.
The entire world of jazz.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Have you tried to come up with some solutions to this?
Yeah, I mean, we've been, since we've started, we've kind of, that's always been something that we've kind of always been talking about. I think over time, we have had more women become involved, but we're nowhere near it being kind of at equal footing and where equal place. Like, and so,
yeah, I see, pardon me, I see on a national level, women in jazz doing things like to help even things out. And most of these things are led by instrumentalists, of which I am not. So I think that puts us at a slight disadvantage for spearheading some of these efforts in this particular city. So I am open to women jazz instrumentalists who want to help mentor or just work on that. Yeah.
Contact Jazz and Creative Institute.
Yeah, that would be great. We welcome that. And I think there are models out there for initiatives that we can take and ways that we can increase the, you know, balance. But yeah, it's kind of one of those larger problems that takes some doing.
And jazz itself is the beauty of jazz is that it's a diverse music. That's the history of it. That's the tradition of it, is that it comes from it comes out of community, which came out of the Black community originally, and that was very much when it was formed. It was a very important voice for a community that was not given the voice that it deserved or needed. And through the civil rights movement, you saw a lot of jazz musicians getting very involved with their music. It was the art that they could use. And then since then, it has expanded to include cultures and many cultures all across the world. That it became a melting pot. And that's the beauty of it, is that it really is just about the community that is creating this music coming together. So we, are constantly trying to, allow that diversity to seep in. It's a challenge, though, sometimes. A lot of, with what we're offering, we are a business. So we're trying to also, try to stay in business, too. So it's like some communities have, more access to doing these things than others. So we're always trying to be open to how can we include, a diverse, a larger diversity in our student base.
Well, one thing is to be welcoming and reach out to people on a radio interview.
Start helping us do that.
There are some true heroes today. I mean, probably one of the most famous jazz artists of today is Esperanza Spalding.
Yeah.
Who can pretty much do anything. Also an instrumentalist and a singer. So there are some great heroes and inspiring artists out there who hopefully, young women will be looking at and thinking, I want to do that. So let's remind listeners again that the six ensembles, it's sort of this, I think, chamber music because I'm classical. But
it's chamber music. It's chamber jazz.
That's a showcase at the Union on Thursday from 7 to 10. And it's full details available at Jazz and Creative. Well, we're close to the end of the hour, and we haven't listened to nearly enough of your
Louise, so much to talk about.
Can we hear one more track before?
Yeah. So the next track we'll listen to is another jazz classic called Goodbye Pork Pie Hat, written by Charles Mingus. And this was actually an arrangement that we did last year that was written for the Mingus Big Band, a professional band in New York that plays all Mingus material. And it features two of our students that have played tenor sax. And one of them is actually now a student at Michigan State University studying jazz saxophone. And the other one is Dante Ramirez, who is a saxophonist out of Wayland, who's a senior this year. So I think you'll enjoy it.
The Kalamazoo Youth Jazz Orchestra. Kalamazoo Youth Jazz Orchestra. Wonderful. Basically a live take, right?
Yeah. It was an in-studio experience. I like to try to get the kids all different types of experiences, you know, including playing different types of gigs and different venues, and they need to go in the studio. That's a part of music recording.
Yeah. Benji's very passionate about getting people opportunities.
And putting the microphones right there.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's a whole different way of performing.
It is. You know. Yeah. It's intimidating to a lot of people, you know.
Yep. Yeah.
Professionals especially, too.
Well, we're close to the end of our time with Ashley and Benji Daneman. Just a reminder that vocal jazz auditions are today and tomorrow. You can hear some jazz ensemble playing at 11 a.m. for the Crybaby concert presented by Fontana tomorrow at 11 a.m. in the Epic Center. And they'll be taking part with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra in the Family Discovery Concert on Sunday. The Union will host how many bands?
Six
bands? Different groups.
Crazy
from
7
to 10 p.m. Thursday. Will there be a charge at the door for that?
That's free. But I mean, the best way to do something like that is to support the venue. So come, assume you buy a meal. It's great food and get a drink, and that's the best way you can do it.
And then along comes the Jazz and Creative Institute large ensemble auditions on October 25 and 26, next weekend.
Yeah.
You'll be looking for which ensembles to populate.
So we're looking through, we'll need adults and high school, middle school students. So if you are any of those and play an instrument, we got a band for you.
Okay, I got a week to practice.
Got a week to practice.
Oh my goodness. Okay, full details on that. You actually have a fairly, what is a good word? I want to say adaptable. It's not. You can almost curate your own experience at Jazz and Creative because you can do a mix.
Yep.
Private lessons, join several different ensembles at this point. And you'll find it all at jazzandcreative.com.
Yeah. And we're all about, we're very much about community. We want people to find a place to be and to experience music with other people. So being in a band is very important. Being a part of lessons, and we have jam sessions every month, and we have open studio sessions where we just hang out and play music. It's really about being around. That's how jazz was created, and that's how it was birthed in our country. It was about being a part of something, and we want to just be that something. In Kalamazoo.
During the music, you talked about a woman jazz instructor besides yourself, Ashley, Jane Kovenchna, I think is how you...
Kuznetsova. Yeah.
Who teaches piano,
jazz
piano. She's also a composer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Out there. And there are quite a few pianos at hand at 310 Rose.
Yes.
So North Rose.
We people come in to our space, which is also the Kalamazoo Piano Company, and they're just like, I just love all the pianos, and they get this dreamy voice. It just feels so, you know, good in here. So if you have a piano to sell or you need one to buy or need a tuning, Jessie French is an expert, and we're big fans of her.
That's all down at 310 North Rose Street in downtown Kalamazoo. And no longer are there traffic cones up.
Nope. Come on through. Parking spots and everything.
Okay. Well, here at the end of the hour, what have we forgotten? Are there any other reminders or any messages you'd like to tell our listeners?
I think you did a great job of directing this hour, Kara.
Traffic cop.
Sometimes it feels like we have so much going on, but the idea is that I think actually you put it really well, is that you're able to kind of create your own experience, and that's what we want to do. So come to us even if you have no idea what you want to be doing, but you like jazz. Just, you know, give
touch.
Us an email. Give us a call. Like, we'll figure out something for you.
Yeah, a lot of people are nervous that they don't have enough skill, or they're shy about jumping back into a group setting. And honestly, we get that every day. So you will not be the only person wondering if you should come play with us.
It's true. I'm prepared for a lesson in humility in a way, because I have my own way of playing.
I
have the thing I think I know.
Yeah.
But Rufus is probably going to tell me it's a little different. Why don't you try this, Kara? Why don't you try that? But it's always such a good feeling to be with a group of people.
Absolutely.
On the same, literally on the same page.
Yeah.
Literally, yeah.
And trying to make it all work.
Yeah.
It's great fun. Well, what should we finish up with?
So I think we have, track three on that. From last year, we had a really cool saxophone ensemble that played the super sax arrangement of Yardbird Suite, which is they take Charlie Parker's tune Yardbird Suite, and then they took a solo and they harmonized his whole solo. So you're going to hear five high school sax players playing Charlie Parker's solo.
That sounds pretty nerdy, actually.
It's really is.
Oh, we are the jazz nerds.
So that'll be a fun thing to send people out on.
Ashley and Benji, thank you very much for coming into WMUK. And jazzandcreative.com is your website. And have a great weekend.
Thank you, Kara. You too.
One, three.